The title of my message today is Discipline in the Church. As you know, we have been preaching from the Gospel of Matthew, and every message is recorded so that finally it may become a book, Sermons from Matthew. This is to ensure you every landscape of the revelation of God, because it touches on every aspect of our life. Now, in the Old Testament, where the church and the state exist side by side, there is much to read about the governing of the people of God. But in the New Testament, where the church and state are separated, for example, the Roman Catholic Church is church and state together, but the Protestant Church is church and state separated, then there is not so much to talk about the governing of the people, but rather the governing of the conduct of Christians and how to restore them to a good relationship, that there may be harmony in the church. So it's a very straightforward procedure that if we follow, and if there are troubles in the church, we may arrive at peace if you follow the four steps which I will read to you again. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell them his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee an heathen and a publican. If we follow the procedure set in the Bible, we will save many, many troubles. Let us realize the church is a community of saved sinners, and we also trespass against one another. First, go privately to him and show him where he has hurt you, and if he repents and confesses to you and says sorry, well, the matter is at once settled. This is a very interesting thing. Outside the church, there may never be any settlement. But we, who are redeemed members of the Lord's family, must make up with one another. And if not, you bring one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, it's a universal law. Well, then, he hears you because of the witnesses. That's very good. But if still will not hear you, then you bring it to the church, to the highest authority, where the elders rule and the pastors, and they will make a decision. But if he still will reject you, when the evidence is there, then it will be a matter of treating him as a non-Christian, as a heathen and a publican. That means to say, you come under the law of the land. In which case, and we should not do it, but if you do it, the judge of the courts will make the decision. It is very gentle, and the Bible never teaches vengeance or revenge. But, sorry to say, that those who will not obey, then you have to hear what Jesus says. Let us turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, which puts it to a final full stop. There is no way of getting out. Therefore, if thou bring the gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. In other words, reconciliation is very important. If brother A is hurt by brother B, and he knows it, he should not come to the Lord's table until he has made up with him. Then he can come to the Lord's table. So the seriousness of the Lord's table is stressed here. Are there cases like that in our church? The matter is not settled. A hurt has been caused, and there is no reconciliation. We want to have a peaceful church, that there be no outstanding matter between brother and brother. Another case of disharmony in the church is in a matter I have observed, particularly with missions. This matter can be traced to a comparison between missions and a Jewish movement called the kibbutz movement. The Jews are made up of many patriots since the beginning of the last century, since the beginning of the 20th century, when young people went back to the homeland to cultivate the land. And they were all decided on one thing: we will give of our time, and we will give of the profits of our pay, and be paid just enough for our maintenance. And because they were fired by this patriotism, the kibbutz system has been a great success. That Israel today is a beautiful, fully cultivated land after 100 years. In the same way, why do you go to be a missionary? All you are interested is that you can go and save souls, and you will get a nominal salary. Of course, all the rest is paid for. And everyone is serving on the same level, at par with one another. But when in a mission, we have one who takes precedence over the other, and he manipulates him and makes him work in certain areas, as well for his profit and pleasure, then you are sure to find disharmony and the breaking up eventually of partnership in the same mission. So what shall we do? We have the same four rules. Go and make it up. For the mission to be flourishing and to be prosperous, there must be constant consultation and open operation. But that, if it is not done, the partnership of the mission, of the missionaries, will be broken up. Now we come to the next area where we may find trouble, and that is money. Money and sex are the two most touching things. Thank God for Life Church. During the last 53 years, we have no trouble in the manner of management or finance. But I know of a young church and a young elder of the church, and it was found out that this elder misspent $10,000 of that young church. Now, we must realize that this is a very serious crime, which is called criminal breach of trust or embezzlement. And if the case is taken over by the government, the person guilty will be jailed. Well, the four steps of making up were followed, but it never worked out. And this elder, while the church did not consider him to be a heathen or a publican, stayed away from church, nor attend another church, and he is gone out of the sight of the Lord forever. I happened to see him once, and he sheepishly avoided me. What a sad thing. For the good administration of the church, that it will not bring such trouble, I have a few hints to those of smaller churches. Our Sunday offerings are collected, and one old lady said, "Oh, our pastor is very rich." she thinks that all the money goes into my pocket. No, it is all lumped together, and several helpers, counters, will count the money, and it will be countersigned by the treasurer who receives from the counters. And they will protect the integrity. Every month when the session meeting comes, the treasurer will have to give a report of all the income and expenditure. Often sums of money come through the pastor, because he meets the people, and sometimes for convenience, and just leave it with me. Immediately the same week, it will be handed over to the treasurer, and receipts are issued so that there will be no abuse. Then we have another situation. A small church, BB church, may come to us, a big church, for loans. But we have discouraged that. We have rather urged our people that we should give them a gift. A loan is but a temporary help. Then they have got to find it. When they build the church, they have to find it to return to you, which is a double burden. And so, the Lord has blessed that he that takes pity on the poor, lendeth to the Lord, and what he has lended the Lord will repay him. Give, and it will be given. When they give money to help someone, the Lord remembers. He will reward you. In this matter, I'm very happy about the mercy ministry, of how over 60,000 has been given, and we have been relaying it to those who are retrenched. And may this principle be in the managers, that no one is left out when it is reported to the committee, to be very fair with everyone. I'm very happy for one church called Shalom BP Church, whose pastor has spoken from this pulpit. The Lord really has blessed him. In a short time of 10 to 20 years, he has built up a big church, big congregation, and the church is used with another church. But yet it's too small and they are expanding. I'm very sure that if members of the church who can help, they will be blessed, and you as well, like those who give to the mercy ministry. Money is a very touchy thing. It affects also husbands and wives. If the sum of money is kept in the bank in the name of the husband, because the husband is the only earner, well, that is automatic. But if both are earning, and then certain interests clash, I would gladly advise the husband and the wife to have separate accounts. There will be no more strife. But if both want to contribute to a common cause between them, it's all right. But money is the center of many quarrels. This is one way of keeping peace in the church. The next thing is sex. We have a case of a man of the happy family who suddenly is attracted to a female employee. Now sex has a power that is simply overwhelming, and we must take good care of it. So his colleagues advise him to cut off the relationship, but he would not accept. So finally he left the company. It is such a great sadness that we have such a thing. When we were in seminary, we learned in pastoral theology, that is taking care of the church members, that you never visit the woman who stays alone in the house, and you alone, you will be the cynosure of all eyes, the subject of many gossips. But the worst of all is you may be the tempter yourself. You may not mean it, but your coming into the contact may generate something very serious. We had a couple who told us that they were quarreling so much that they were going to divorce. So they went to a new country, hoping that a new land, they can find a solution in a new country. But it didn't work. However, they repented from their sins. God helped them. And now they are happy together. That is not easy. I pray that it may work in other cases. But then, from his own experience, he gave me a guidance. Observe carefully couples. They may appear happy to you, but inside, they are about to break. And then, we are reminded by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to the church of Ephesus, that you have something very repugnant, and that is, you who are my wife, Ephesus, the church, in figure of speech, but you have left your first love. And having left your first love, you are tended to separate and finally to divorce. It may be a good question for you to answer this morning coming to church. How much do you love your wife? We don't ask a wife to say, how much do you love your husband? The initiative must be in the husband. Three times Paul tells the Ephesians, husbands, love your wives. Do you love them constantly, or has it so degenerated that at the present moment it is only a tolerant situation? And then now we come to another matter, and that is the matter of divorce. In the West, USA, America, Great Britain, Australia, the rate is two marriages with one broken in between. How about Singapore? Is it 6 or 7? And fast catching up with the West, which is very, very serious. And then, not only the divorce, we have the case of husbands who are unfaithful to their wives, quite notoriously. But Straits Times, not long ago, reported the case of wives being unfaithful to their husbands, especially those who are working wives. And then we have the promiscuous sex of young people during the absence of their parents to work. They practice it in their parents' homes. And what is now very rampant in America is incest. And AIDS, of course, is worldwide. But do you know that AIDS was not known until 1980? In fact, it is like SARS, the judgment of God over a wicked mankind. Don't let my message be heard by those who are suffering from AIDS. But this is a true statement. What is the remedy? Let them who marry only in the Lord. If you marry a non-Christian, you are headed for trouble right away. Let them be lifers. Very good. That will increase our membership. Between BPs, let them attend church every Sunday. Because unless God will bless our lives will be miserable. If both of you will serve the Lord together and you come to church because you need the Lord in everything, attend prayer meetings, sunset gospel hour, missionary fellowships, mission trips, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. We cannot guarantee, but in these procedures, the Lord will be drawn closer to us. Finally, a word on suicides. I know of 3 suicides occurring in our own BP churches. Why the hardships of life, loneliness, sickness, and you cannot stand. But you must resist Satan and look only to God who will help you, and the door to heaven is always open to us. I knew of a loyal friend, and he was in his 60s when he migrated to Singapore just before the Japanese war. Then suddenly I read in the papers that he and the wife committed suicide at the Katong Beach, drowning themselves. That's the solution of life. But Hebrews 9:27 says that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. Can one who commits suicide be saved? This is a hard question. I leave it to the Lord who has extra mercies. But when we have one in the family who will do that, is it not a heartache? And we should be gentle to one another, not judge one another, but pray for one another. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, as we study the discipline in the church, we realize that there are so many shortcomings. Help thy people to live according to thy word. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.